happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
Oh, when he wore.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, on location. We're going to talk about health and healing today in a big way. We're even going to talk about the, not the placebo, but the nocebo, N-O-C-E-B-O. That means there's nothing active, there's no proven ingredient in something, and yet it works. But it's a different perspective from the University Medical Center in Hamburg, Germany. I'll share that and what it means to us. And then, do you want to improve liver function? You bet. According to Tokai University, Tokai Hospital in Japan, broccoli sprouts can do that. And if you want the best kind of weight control and at the same time lay down some good, healthy microbiome or good bacteria in your gut, decaffeinated green and black tea can do that. And if you're a woman getting frequent urinary tract infections, what should you do to help? It's not cranberry juice. University of Miami School of Medicine will tell us that. And they wanted to see what would happen if you really intensively exercised for 2 days. They did this University of Kent with one single natural food. Phenomenal results for your immune system. And if you're chronically constipated and you've tried everything and it still hasn't worked, there's one thing I bet you haven't tried. University of Calgary, Cummings School of Medicine, gave a procedure, and I'll tell you what that is. Then we're continuing with part two of how do we get so brainwashed, including those who normally would be able to be reasonable in their thoughts, who have the skills intellectually, most people do, to analyze something and then decide, is it believable or not, in part or whole? Can I accept or reject it? Instead of just having massive, really concerning or disconcerting acceptance of something that's pure dogma, that has no truth. How do we get there? Well, I just finished a two-part series on the truth, finally, about the White Helmets being an actual terrorist organization. And you would have seen this in the very beginning, had you wanted to. But if you wanted to believe that it was a special humanitarian group, they get an Academy Award. They're embraced by the darlings on the left, including Democracy Now! And MSNBC. Then are you really interested in the truth? Are you any yourself less susceptible to mind control? So we're a country that needs to shake ourselves up a bit and say, how much of our actions and thoughts and diets and body politics is based upon conditioning, propaganda? Part two of that today. Then I've got a question for you. And this question is raised by Chris Hedges in an interesting editorial he wrote called The End of Empire. It's short. I will cite it. But then I would like your feedback. Do you accept or reject, in part or whole, Chris's idea that we're at the end of it? We're one heartbeat away from everything, and I mean, as you'll hear him say, everything collapsing. Now, he's not rushing to judgment. He's giving his own very deep and measured reasoning behind why everything in our life is going to collapse. We're in a perfect storm. He's even bringing in loss of trust in the American currency and what will happen when the dollar is no longer the exclusive measure of exchange. And one night you go to bed and you got some savings and there's value in your home, and the next day other currencies have taken the dollar's place, and all those $200 trillion in debts that we have and all those bonds and all that worthless money going around, wow, what will that do to us? So you'll have your chance to see, is he overreacting, in your opinion? Do you want to add on to? Do you want to challenge? It'll be our talk back segment. So we have that also coming at you. And I'm setting aside some time after health and nutrition to take a look at something. I was hearing some people talk, some of the guests who are leaving today. It's their final day. And their impressions of the world and what it's like today. And one person was complaining about this is wrong today and that's wrong today. And so I simply said, tell me what you know about the good old days. Tell me when the good old days were. Now, all of us have moments, generally in our childhood, where we had wonderful times, wonderful feelings, because we had no responsibility. We had no stress. Life was just there to go out and explore and smell the wonderful aromas of life and watch the little creatures and be fascinated by it all, because we didn't understand it. We just wanted to be a part of it. But life was never meant to be figured out. It was meant to be lived. And then we grow up. So I'm going to take you on a trip today as if you were suddenly waking up and you were in, what do you want, medieval England? You woke up living at the court of Versailles? You woke up in Constantinople? Pick your community. And I will show you what life was like then, hundreds or even 1,000 years ago, even 2,000 years ago, compared to today. And then you tell me how bad your life is compared to what everyone's life was in different circumstances then. So we have a lot to share. From the University of Calgary, people with severe chronic constipation may get relief from a more modern type of acupuncture. After 8 weeks of treatment with electroacupuncture, that means, I've discussed this many times, acupuncture involving weak electrical stimulation, the participants experienced significant symptoms and quality of life improvements. Now, what happens is this. With electroacupuncture, you use a very thin needle, and it's inserted gently between the skin that are attached to a device that sends a weak electrical pulse into the body. The study findings suggest it's safe and effective for the difficult-to-treat patients, and especially those with gastrointestinal conditions. So, that's good news, and especially for those who are suffering from chronic constipation. By the way, that's a major group of people. A lot of people suffer from that. Also, when you look at minerals, most people get their minerals from their food. But I suggest you also take the time to get a supplement, one with a good form of magnesium. Now, my preference would be magnesium from citrate. And there's a good reason why. This is from the peer-reviewed journal Neurology. The study was done at Erasmus University Medical Center in the Netherlands. And they found that magnesium levels, if they're not what your body needs, put you at increased risk of dementia. They looked at 9,569 participants in the Rotherham study. And they did this over a period of 11 years. And the people were not old. The average woman was 56. And what they found is, wow, people are not taking in the kind of magnesium or the amount of magnesium they need. And a lot of people who have soft water And most people do have soft water. And the reason you get soft water is simply because if you have hard water, even though you've washed with soap and then rinsed with water, it feels like you still have some kind of thin film on your body. You don't, but that's the minerals. And you actually want that. Hard water, water with sulfur, calcium, magnesium, manganese, boron, that's good for you. Soft water, you're not getting your minerals. And reverse osmosis, you're getting no minerals. And yet I know people who drink only distilled reverse osmosis water. Well, where are you going to get all your minerals? Because the minerals are not easily absorbed. You see, people think, well, I took 100 milligrams of magnesium in when I ate a cup of spinach. Yeah. And what percentage of the magnesium in the spinach will the body actually absorb? 10%, 15%? Generally very little. That's why I take a supplement. My suggestion would be about 800 milligrams a day, unless you have multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, dementia, insomnia, in which case I would recommend 800 milligrams twice a day. About an hour before you go to bed can help give you a much better night's sleep and can help prevent a heart attack during the night. Pricey drugs may make people more vulnerable to perceived side effects. And the phenomenon, not just in their heads. This study from the University Medical Center in Hamburg delved into the so-called nocebo effect. It's the negative version of the well-known placebo effect, where people feel better after receiving a therapy because they expected good things. But with the nocebo effect, patients' worries over treatment side effects make them feel sick. And in this study, researchers found that people were more likely to report painful side effects from a fake drug, meaning there was nothing in it, when they were told, oh, this is a very expensive drug. But it wasn't just something people were making up. Using brain imaging, the researchers traced the phenomena to specific activity patterns in the brain and spine. Quote, these findings are a strong argument against the perception of placebo and nocebo effects as being only fake effects created purely by imagination or delusions of the patients. This is not merely a reflection of people's biases. Expectations do modulate symptoms and patients' responses to treatment. Now, why is that important? Because how often do you go someplace? Let's say if you went to one psychologist or behavioralist or humanist psychologist, because you knew you weren't going to be judged, they were not going to recommend that you feel bad about everything you've done in life or made everyone be disappointed in you, but rather they were trying to encourage you to stop looking in the rearview mirror of life. You can't keep looking in the rearview mirror and be angry and tearful and self-pitying or loathsome by what you see, because if only I hadn't said that, wow, did I really screw that up badly? Well, yeah, people screw up all the time. And then they can't handle screwing up, so then they want to disguise it. And what do we do when we disguise making bad choices? First, we say, but it was all done with good intent. Okay, then you suddenly absolve yourself. There's nothing then to learn from your experience. I don't believe that people should beat up on themselves. I don't believe that any form of self-abuse is constructive. However, I do believe that every mistake we make in life is a moment of experience where we can go to the honest and humble side of our natures and say, okay, I just screwed up. I said something I shouldn't have. I written something I shouldn't have. I left an email I shouldn't have. Why? And then take the emotion out of it. Did that come from my spiritual side? If it did, then I'm not spiritual. Did that come from my dysfunctional side? Be honest about where it came from, why you did it, said it, experienced it, and then ask, okay, what can I learn from this so I don't repeat it? Then whatever you did, as negative or bad as it may be, at least you're less likely to repeat it. If you don't learn that, if you absolved yourself, what was my fault, you blame someone else. Do you ever notice the person that does not want to ingratiate your needs, suddenly you attack them as not being capable of experiencing love? Somehow they're hiding from real love. Maybe you were hurt as a kid. Nonsense. You cannot live a contradictory existence. You'll try, you'll fail. If you're coming from love, there'll never be hate in the equation. If you're coming from openness, there'll never be closeness. If you're coming from non-judgmentalism, you won't be demeaning other people who don't agree with you. But we do just the opposite. We judge people or events based upon our own biases and then condemn them for not aligning with our biases or predetermined mindset. And one day you wake up and you're just alone because that's how many people you've excluded, or your ego or conditioning is excluded from your existence. We have an awful lot of men and women, children in our society. Just time to grow up. Because what you think, you become. And therefore, the idea that things are placebos or nocebos is not true. It's not true. You actually, with a thought, can change your DNA. And that can stay. So be conscious of what you think. There is a consequence. If you want to have better liver functioning, and we all do, then you need to consume broccoli sprouts. A study in Japan at the Tokyo Hospital found that broccoli sprouts enhanced liver function. Why? Because sprouts contain what is called sul, S-U-L-4-O-F-O-R-A-fane, P-H-A-N-E, sulforaphane. And that's a very powerful chemical in the sprouts that help improve hepatic, which is your liver function. So if you have been a drinker, if you've had non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, if you've had cirrhosis, if you had hepatitis, elevated liver enzymes, start eating a lot of broccoli sprouts on a daily basis. And from University of California, if you buy the decaffeinated green tea and black tea, you're flooding your body with polyphenols, and that helps you inhibit weight gain. And that is a good thing. It also helps establish a healthier microflora. That's the good bacteria in your gut. And women who frequently have urinary tract infections, you can reduce those infections, according to the University of Miami School of Medicine, by drinking plenty of water. Good, healthy, clean water. And that's relatively easy to do because we drink a lot of coffee. We don't drink a lot of water. And coffee is diuretic, which takes water out of the body. And finally, from the University of Kent, they took a group of people and they put them on 2 days of intense training. And that impacts negatively the immune system. And then they gave them chlorella. Chlorella, C-H-L-O-R-E-L-L-A. And that enhanced their immune system. So for all of you who've been having your green powders, you bet it can make a big difference. Have it on a daily basis after your workout. That chlorella is terrific for you. And make sure that you are having, I would say, at least 13 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, but that could include them in the form of concentrated powders. That's your most powerful in healing. Your juices come next, and then you're consuming fresh, wherever possible, ideally locally, organically grown. That's the latest on health and healing. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to now go to part two of a discussion by a professor of psychology, University of California, about mass media manipulation, the people who engineer and hence distort our perceptions. And yesterday afternoon on our sister station, WBAI, I was asked, would I spend an hour helping him raise some funds? But we didn't raise any funds. But we did raise some people's consciousness by talking about a recent crisis. They have to pay a big bill to the Empire State Building of $1.8 million. Then they got a $2.2 million bill behind that. And why they had the resources to pay it. All they have to do is have the will to sell some real estate that is unencumbered, meaning it's debt-free. And they have three pieces of real estate, and they can easily do it, and not only do it and pay that bill off completely, but have at least $500,000 per station to get additional staff in and raise the quality of their programming, management, fundraising, etc. Anyhow, so sometimes a crisis where everyone's running and panicking, they got to stop and say, this gives us an opportunity, because frequently crisis does provide us an opportunity. But in that discussion, there was a comment made by the program director, and it probably, I don't believe it resonated with most people, it went by real quick, that the reason we're in all this trouble is because there was a power grab, and the one very important resource of the foundation was taken by one individual with the help of a small group of people, and privatized and profitized, and is now that person's single domain. How does it happen that an entire community, the left, the liberal community, that has been correct on so many issues and been on the right side against certain issues, been on the wrong side of other issues? They were on the, not all, but many supported the taking over of Libya and intervention against Assad and the supporting the White Helmets and many other things. How could they have been universally wrong on siding with the very person and their small clique to take over Pacific? Why didn't any of them, who are fully capable, who have the intellectual capacity, have the sense of reasoning and scholarship, and have used it in other ways, why did they simply become robotic and accept something that normally, if done by their opposition, would offend them and has? But that's what I saw. And I spoke with some of the leaders, the leading intellectual and activist minds within the entire liberal community, household names. And I told them I'd done my homework. Here was a report. Read the report for yourself. You'll see that this is not a coup counter coup. It's just a coup. Brilliantly done. Purely Machiavellian. But it completely gutted all the original progressives within the Pacifica Foundation management and stations and program directors, station managers, national news. All of them were purged. And not a single thought from those in the community. Did we support the right person here? Were we on the right side? Wow. If you spoke with Dick Cheney and George Bush today, or Colin Powell might regret his UN speech, but there's a whole lot he doesn't regret. And you would look at these people and say, but history has shown you're wrong. Now go to the very people who supported the takeover of Pacifica's and privatization for personal gain and say, you got it wrong. Are you willing now to see that And they'll look right in the eye and say, no. How did we get here? How did we get to be so easily manipulated? Whole groups of people manipulated. Listen to part two.
Now the economically disadvantaged occupy substandard housing in the inner cities. And they're broke. They're broke. They don't have a negative cash flow position. They're f***ing broke.
And today, America's love affair with semantics has given birth to a new phrase to describe the rich.
Job creators in America basically are on strike.
Increasing taxes on job creators.
This administration and this president, policies are hostile to job creators.
Instead of just saying the wealthy who make over $250,000 a year, if you say job creator, then you say, well, we can't raise their taxes. They're the ones who create jobs. When in reality, when their taxes were higher under Bill Clinton, three times as many jobs were created.
The propensity to add softer terms to the English lexicon has surged over the decades, particularly when it comes to military-related language.
Damaging euphemisms, like when, instead of saying innocent civilians were killed, you, in a drone strike, you say there was collateral damage. Collateral damage, which to me is the worst expression. No, it's innocent men, women, and children were killed. And the collateral damage sounds like a real estate transaction.
Allied soldiers shooting each other has become known as
friendly fire.
Kidnapping and transferring a terrorist suspect is called
extraordinary rendition.
And the torture America's war prisoners might endure is referred to as
enhanced interrogation.
Now we're going to start propaganda technique number two. And this sort of builds on itself, but I want to warn you about something. The purpose of propaganda is ultimately to make you feel better about something, about garbage, about killing, about whatever. So as we take off the veils of propaganda and become more media literate, we're starting to look at things that are a little harder to look at. This is really not an entertaining lecture. No pain, no gain here. As we become more conscious of the propaganda in our lives, we have to confront things that propaganda protects us from. Propaganda is kind of like a bandage, and we're pulling that bandage off, so fasten your seatbelts. So, repeated affirmations is essentially this. I'm going to try to tell you that 2 plus 2 is 5, and how am I going to convince you of that? Well, let's say I got Stephen Hawking to talk in his way, in a muffled tone, about the new mathematics which allows 2 plus 2 to be 5. And then I got another a Nobel Prize winner who said, yes, there are conditions under which 2 plus 2 could be 5. And then another speaker and another speaker. And pretty soon it's repeated so much that you start to believe it. Maybe 2 plus 2 is 5 or could be 5. That's what repeated affirmations is. Say the lie over and over again with authority figures, and it starts to be believed. Here's Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda minister of Nazi Germany. Propaganda must therefore always be essential and repetitious. It must confine itself to a few points and repeat them over and over. Okay, thank you, Mr. Goebbels. Now, George Bush said almost exactly the same thing. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over to kind of catapult the propaganda. Well, that's exactly what happened with Iraq. But before we talk about Iraq, I need to introduce a psychological term, a delusion. So imagine there's a guy who has a cat, and he sees that his cat went over to his neighbor's house, and the neighbor is feeding his cat. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like his neighbor feeding the cat. He doesn't say anything, but it really makes him mad. And he thinks the neighbor is poisoning his cat. So after a couple months of this, his cat dies. And he is very, very upset. And he believes that that guy, a delusion, by the way, is a false theory about the world, a false idea. Okay. So he, like George Bush, wants to have this cat inspected for weapons of mass destruction. And he sends the cat off to a toxicologist for an autopsy. And it comes back, the cat died of natural causes. Sorry, no poisons, no toxins, no weapons of mass destruction. Then he's not satisfied. He goes for another autopsy and another inspection. The same result, nothing. Sorry, no toxins. And he's still not happy, still doesn't believe it. And he finally gets himself so worked up, he walks over to the neighbor's house, confronts him, shoots him, and kills him. Okay? So that's a hypothetical example of a person who is mentally ill, who is suffering from a delusion. Okay? Now, we have that under our belt. So let's now talk about repeated affirmations and the delusions that we had about Iraq. We had two major delusions. First delusion, first false idea, was that Saddam Hussein orchestrated or had some role in the 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. And the second delusion was that Saddam Hussein was developing nuclear weapons. Now, let's not talk about the second because we know that that's false, okay? But we'll talk about the first. The first lie is that Saddam Hussein had a connection with those 9/11 hijackers. Mohammed Atta, the Saudi kingpin of the 9/11 attacks, secretly met with an Iraqi intelligence official in Prague on April 9th, 2001. Oh, yes, he did. And that's the connecting point between 9/11 and Saddam Hussein and Iraq and why we had to invade them. The truth is that Mohammed Atta was in Sarasota, Florida then. He was making calls on his cell phone on April 6th, April 9th, April 10th, April 11th. He used his ATM card in the United States on April 4th. He was never in Prague. He didn't meet with any intelligence official. But we're trying to say 2 plus 2 is 5 here. And there's a great need to do that. So Bush says, this, talking about Saddam Hussein, this is a man who's got connections to Al-Qaeda. He's a threat because he's dealing with Al-Qaeda. That's because they met in Prague, right? We're taking the fight to those who attacked us, said George Bush. Well, did Saddam Hussein attack us? Did he have anything to do with Mohammed Atta, the 9/11 hijackers? Are we taking the fight to those who attacked us? To Vice President Cheney, he did meet with a senior official of Iraqi intelligence in Czechoslovakia last April, several months before the attack. Czech police said no. The FBI said no. There's no evidence that that happened. Now, you're going to keep repeating that and repeating that and repeating that.
Saddam Hussein aids and protects terrorists, including members of Al-Qaeda.
There was a relationship between Iraq and Al-Qaeda.
Saddam, Al-Qaeda, Saddam, Al-Qaeda,
Saddam, the Al-Qaeda,
Saddam, Saddam,
Saddam, Al-Qaeda.
It is only a matter of time before terrorist states armed with weapons of mass destruction develop the capability to deliver those weapons to U.S. cities.
What we're giving you are facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence.
Man who hates America.
Saddam Hussein aids and protects terrorists.
So, that wasn't just the extent of the propaganda. The big pinnacle was just before we went to a war against Iraq, Colin Powell spoke in front of the UN with a PowerPoint presentation, and the entire mass media went crazy.
It should be noted that Colin Powell's speech to the United Nations was theater, a masterful theater, effective theater at the time. Here's a man who has tremendous credibility, who presents himself to the Security Council, to the American people, to the international public, and stares the camera in the eye and says he knows Iraq has weapons of mass destruction.
Powell, by the way, to this day says that was the lowest point in his political and military career, the moment that he is most embarrassed about. Okay, he feels that he was conned by the CIA and by the Bush administration. So, nonetheless, America's war propagandists spread the word. It's not Powell and Bush, it's a whole bunch of people. Okay, these are the people who are on American television day after day after day, telling the American people that 2 plus 2 is 5.
Media in this country who would tell us the truth.
The rallying around the president, around the flag, and around the troops clearly has begun.
And we're going to win!
You really have to be with the troops to understand that kind of adrenaline rush that they get.
I just want you to know, I think Navy SEALs rock.
The pictures you're seeing are absolutely phenomenal.
When my country's at war, I want my country to win.
Iraqi opposition has faded in the face of American power.
What you're watching here is truly historic television and journalism.
It was absolutely electrifying. They actually had to strap me in with my camera at the back of the plane.
An awesome synchronized killing machine.
There is an inherent bias in the coverage of the American press in general.
Am I slanted and biased? You damn well bet I am.
And proud of it, too. So, as we succumbed, in effect, to repeated affirmations, these are the main figures that appeared on American television day after day after day, saying that Saddam Hussein had a relationship to Al-Qaeda, he had something to do with 9/11, he was making nuclear bombs and using weapons of mass destruction, and these guys got an awful lot of attention. Now, if you look at the total number of times those folks were on TV, primetime TV, this is from the Vanderbilt Television Archives. You don't know Richard Pearl anymore, but he was on television 187 times, okay? Pontificating about exactly these two delusions. Paul Wolfowitz, who has also disappeared from our consciousness, he was on 180 times. Bloodthirsty rhetoric about why we needed to go and invade Iraq because they were developing weapons of mass destruction and they were aiding and abetting Al-Qaeda. Now, there were two doves who hardly got any attention at all. One was Scott Ritter. He was an inspector, and he said, "There are no weapons of mass destruction, guys. We've inspected and inspected and inspected. The cat died of natural causes, okay?" And Noam Chomsky, look at how, this is over a 20-to-1 ratio between hawks and doves, all during this period leading up to the war. Now, here's the delusion that Iraq had something to do with 9/11. Right after 9/11, people were asked about Iraq, and only about 16% felt Saddam Hussein had anything to do with it. But with all of this propaganda coming out, Cheney and all those folks, about 28% believed that Iraq had something to do with it. 2 years after we invaded Iraq, close to 60%, 56% of Americans believed a delusion. Okay, they believed a falsehood. Now, if you watched PBS, that was your major source of information, sorry, PBS viewers did not buy it. If you watched Fox News, close to 60%. I read one study where almost 80% of Fox viewers believed Saddam Hussein had something to do with 9/11 and was making nuclear weapons. Now, 3 years into the war, George Bush is caught off guard at a press conference. A journalist asks him, "What did Saddam Hussein have to do with 9/11? Check out his answer.
"What did Iraq have to do with what?
The attack on the World Trade Center.
Nothing.
What did Iraq have to do with the attack on the World Trade Center? Nothing. Thanks a lot." Now, 3 years into the war, 90% of U.S. soldiers who were fighting and putting their lives at risk believed that Saddam Hussein had something to do with 9/11. This is called a delusion. This is called a mental illness, except it wasn't one man with a cat who suffered from a mental illness. It was the majority of the American people, Congress, the Senate, who were duped, who were living in a trance. And we went off to war, and we killed approximately 100,000 people. Now, one of the consequences of a delusion is that you're mentally ill. The man who goes and shot the cat, the man he thought poisoned his cat, he didn't think that that man was married, that he had two sons, that he created a widow, that he deprived these two sons of a father, that the guy also had his own father and mother, a grandpa and grandma, and they lost their son. And he also had a best friend. Have you ever lost your best friend? It's a trauma. It's a tragedy. There are a lot of other people involved in acting out a delusion. Now, some people say we kill 86,000 people. Some people say, some doctors say we killed 600,000. The consensus estimate is about 100,000 people that we killed based on acting on two delusions. This is what 100,000 people look like. Now, this is the stuff we do not want to see. This is the stuff NBC and CNN and even Charlie Rose are not bringing into our consciousness. Take a look at those bald heads in the front of that stadium, okay? Each one of those people has a wife or a husband and children, a father, a mother, and a grandchild or whatever, or a best friend. And there are many more than 100,000 people who've been impacted by our behavior. And our behavior, I mean,
We'll go to part three on our next show. Now think of how many people on the left supported undermining Saddam Hussein because they not only believed in the lies, they helped perpetuate them to their liberal or democratic base. Hillary Clinton and the people supported Clinton. That's the entire corporate liberal media. And even the media in democracy or on Pacifica. Now, did we ever take a moment and go to Libya, go to Syria, go to Honduras, go to Venezuela and say, what are the consequences of me not doing my homework and making wrong choices, which then bias the audience against people? And the number is not 100,000. Now the number is a little over a million have died, civilians in Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as in our adventures in other countries right now around the world. I see no one saying, yep, that was a stupid thing to do. What are your thoughts about how culpable we are in allowing ourselves, irrespective of our position? When he mentioned we don't think about, you know, what happens to a mother or brother, there were 56 people who were purged at one time after a judge said don't purge in Pacifica, when Pacifica was finally taken over by a small little tiny group that's still in power today. And these people had families. Most were African Americans. A lot of them were educated with PhDs, but they were demonized by the left. Their whole careers were destroyed. Their reputations were sullied. They were libeled. They were slandered. And not a single apology, because the people who did it, like gang members that have gone on a rampage, they never go back and had that moment and think, wow, was I on the wrong side of this? No, these self-righteous people never think they're on the wrong side of anything. That's unfortunate. Your thoughts, how easy we are, left and right, conservative and liberal, Christian and non-Christian, religious and non-religious, to get sucked in to false belief systems, become indoctrinated and never care, to lose our sensitivity to what it means to be the other. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I'd like to hear from you. Now, I was just told that we have on the telephone downstairs, I'm in a little makeshift studio, we have Lou M. Panessi, who is the one that you all talk with when you want to come to a retreat, and we're in the midst of our retreat, which has been very successful. It was successful in that it was able to pay for all the premiums that then allowed the people to get their premiums in a timely manner, and that was good, helped the station, that was good, but also it helps people. How? Each one is different. Let's say hello. I don't know who's on the line. Could you give us your first name, please?
All right, well, yeah, it's Luann, and I've got Max, and I have Leo here. And what a phenomenal group we have here, Gary. You're absolutely right. It's so exciting to interview people and then have them actually get here and then have the privilege of watching them go through magnificent transitions in their lives. So let's start with Max, and he'd love to share a little bit about his experience with you.
Hi, Max.
Hi, my name is Max, and I'm visiting from New York. Coming here, I thought that I would find an incredible experience, but it's far, far exceeded what my dreams and hopes were. In coming here, I thought I was coming to a retreat, but I really come to a return. A return to my conscience, a return to my sense of justice, and a return to the family that I'll return to in New York. The reason anyone who's listening to this should come to this experience, and I wish all of you find the courage and hope to do it, is that when you come here, when you experience an environment like this, you're coming into the presence of a spiritual philosopher in Gary, someone whose words reflect their deeds and whose deeds mirror their words. He's not going to teach you how to be anything different. He's just going to be a pure mirror to help you find who you are and who you've always known you are. So coming here for me has meant recognizing the inner love and inner truth that has always been with me, and that sometimes we all forget. So whether you have to stop whatever you're doing for a week or hopefully a month, it's better to give up that month of your life and honor yourself than to lose 30 years of your life living as you are now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and we also have Leo with us. These are just two people of many that are having themselves a very transitional experience. Here's Leo.
Hi, my name is Leo Morris, Jr. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm also a Vietnam vet. Coming here to Jerry Retreat has enlightened me. I find Jerry to be a great motivational speaker. I find Gary to be a great motivational speaker. And he put me in touch with the fine fact of self-love. And you can't protect something, even yourself, if you don't love. And he put me in touch with the tangible and the intangible. And I could talk all day and night about it. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so much in touch with how much things are in my environment that I have no control over and that I'm critical of. And I find myself being that way to myself. And coming here has put me in touch with the two and put me in a position to make the proper decision. In life, you're either going to do one or two things. You're going to love or hate. And there's no doubt love is better than hate. So that's why I say Gary is a great motivational speaker, instructor, teacher. And I'm delighted to have come here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that's what we have right here.
Thank you, Luann. They're finishing lunch, and then they'll spend the rest of the day just reflecting on what they've learned this week and lessons they can take home with them, and did a lot of lecturing this week, probably 6 to 8 hours a day, and never had to do that in the past. But there were a lot of issues that people had to deal with, and so the staff, wonderful staff, came together from the country to help them in their journey. So I wish them all well. When they come back home, they'll be living a more authentic life, healthier life, and some remarkable changes happened this week. When I say remarkable, I mean remarkable. And interesting, I said last week that we had a whole lot of doctors here, which we do, and they just last night, when people were saying what happened to them, doctors couldn't figure it out. They just cannot wrap their mind around it. They're coming from a reductionist, linear perspective. And what happens here isn't reductionist or linear. It's transformative. It's quantum. So next week, I intend to have a couple of these Orthodox doctors on the program and ask them, what did you observe that you've never seen, don't have an answer for, but have questions now? Because sometimes you have to know which question to ask in order to get the answer you need. So that'll be next week. Now, I want to see if we have anyone who is contacting us who would like to give us some input on the question I'd raised here. Let's say hello to Linda from Somerset. Hi, Linda. You're on the air. It's your turn. On the air.
Speak Hi, and up, this please. Is supposed to be Brenda. You said Linda.
Oh, I'm Brenda. Sorry. I was told you're... Okay, Brenda, please tell us what you're calling about.
Well, I was extremely upset when I heard about 9/11, and I couldn't understand how they had pictures of all the terrorists the next day on the newspaper, plus they identified them as being Saudis, and they had said that all the Saudi family was flown out of the United States. And when Bush started to blame Saddam Hussein, I told people who I work with, I said, he's lying. I said, Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with it. But like you said, the propaganda is so strong in this country, people believe everything that they see and hear. But if you look for the forest, you know, beyond the trees, you could see a whole picture. I never believed for a moment that Saddam Hussein had attacked the United States. He had more sense than that. He was in bed with the United States. He was probably a CIA agent for all I know. But I never believed for one minute. But the problem is, what do you do about it? Even though I told as many people as I could, I didn't believe it. What do you do as an individual?
Okay, as individuals, we don't have the strength we have as we get together, the we. It's always the we that has more power than the me. Let's break down, Brenda, what you said into its components. That they identified everyone real quick. They even found a passport that was virtually unharmed near the Trade Center, when everything else, including all of the work, all the steel, was melted. And a small group of scientists began to ask questions, as we legitimately should after any crisis. You know, we should ask legitimate questions. If there's a plane wreck, you're going to ask questions. There's going to be a forensic examination. Was it pilot error? Was it mechanical error? You know, what was it that happened? But we didn't. We rushed to judgment. And you are correct. But add on to this, Brenda, it was not just the royal family, Saudi royal family members that was flown out. It was virtually all important Saudis were flown out of the country. No one else from any other country was allowed to fly out. Every single plane was grounded, but not for the Saudis. Now we found out, and this is only due to the survivors who felt they were being lied to, and indeed they were. And who said that they were lied to? The actual co-chairpersons for the official government 9/11 commission report.
Yeah.
There were people's testimony excluded. There were other people who were not brought under oath and whose testimony was given in secret. The FBI had lied. The CIA had lied. Now, this is from the individuals writing the report. So what we got was a whitewash. Now, there's been a law passed that means that the Saudi Arabian government will be sued by the individuals and class action suit. They will be deposed, and they cannot claim immunity. Diplomatic immunity to get out of this. Now, here's the problem. The Bush administration and the Obama administration both sided with Saudi Arabia. Hillary Clinton sided with Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
So if the official Democratic nominee and all of her coterie of sycophants and the corporate media trust her, trust him, then it means they don't trust the American people who were victims and those scientists who now aren't one. There's over 3,000 American scientists, engineers and physicists, and meteorologists and architects who say we have enough evidence that the official version is simply wrong. Now, nobody has the evidence of what actually happened, but we know what didn't happen. And Building 7 could not have collapsed based upon the evidence at hand. It was a free fall collapse. And there's now enough evidence of detonations, and you can see them. I interviewed a man who was in the basement. In fact, he was the last person out of the building, and he was dragging a person out, and they were coming from the basement because of a door before the building collapsed, right?
This
collapse, he was in the basement. There was an explosion. The door blew off. hit him and a person in front of him. That man was seriously injured. He had to drag that man out. So how in the world did the official version exclude the fact that multiple witnesses, including first responders, were eyewitnesses to a multiple explosions occurring in the basement of the building, and yet he asked to testify. His testimony never ended up in official report, nor anyone else saying that there were multiple explosions. So you see, it's what you exclude that determines your motive. Now we know that the Saudis were financing it, but we still have not condemned them. The media has not condemned them, not a single one. The administration, the State Department, the Defense Department, no one in the Washington has condemned them. So that should tell you that not only is the media aware of it, they're complicit in it. Because only the independent journalists and the independent media and independent thinkers who have broken free or were never susceptible to the groupthink are looking for the truth. Clearly, Brenda, you're looking for the truth, and I appreciate that.
Another thing I'd like to bring up, what you also said, when the explosion had happened, the plane flew into the building. Okay, I could understand that. But what I could not understand was this fly-free zone. How did the plane get into the area of the Pentagon even? And I said to the people on my job, I said, look at the buildings. They collapsed. I said, this was an implosion. And I'm not even an engineer. But I've seen buildings coming down. And I said, this explosion was inside the building. The plane didn't do that. I mean, everybody
you want
has
a better,
access to the
Brenda,
same thing I
Brenda,
had.
Brenda, do you want a better example of what you just said? One that is virtually idiot-proof? That anyone who is a believer in the official version would have a moment of pause? Take actual model size. You can do this on your computer. Of the plane that allegedly went into the Pentagon, flying at the speed it did, it would have had to have been only about 3 feet off the ground. Now, then look at the wingspan, look at the engines, look at the tail, how high it is, and then you can see, you can measure the point of imprint of impact. So, now look at the building. Where are the wings? Where's the impact? It would have torn out at least 50 feet into the building. There's nothing. Where is the tail? You don't see it. And it is the hole, the size, if you flew a missile in there, not of a plane. And show me the parts of the plane. Show me the seats. Show me the engines of the plane. These would not have disintegrated because the heat was not that hot. You wouldn't have melted these. At every plane wreck in the world, you have forensic evidence. Show me the forensic evidence. You see, there's just overwhelming evidence to challenge the official position. That's called cognitive disconnect. When your lying machine, your propaganda machine, is so good and so repetitive, and the authority figures who we trust to not lie to us, not betray us, have lied to us and betrayed us, is so powerful, we simply go into a state of disconnect. Thank goodness more Americans are awakening from that moment and looking for the truth. We're out of time. Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't get to the other people on another show, and I will get to Chris Hedges' commentary on our next show about the end of our empire. Do you believe that our empire is ending? And he's believing it real, real soon. Is he right or wrong? You decide on this based upon what he's sharing, and then I'll share with you what it's like living in different times around the world, and you can then see whether or not those were times that you would have wanted to have lived in, whatever reason. Have a nice day, everyone.